Okay, good to see everybody. We wanted to just do quickly something from the sukkah to finish up the sugya, and then we will move to our topic today of B'chukasem Lo Selechu. But I wanted to finish, as I gave in the first of the Marmakomis, the small tesis here. If you take a look at Vavim and Beis, where we're at the end, very end of the sugya, take a look, guys. It said that we had a machlokes between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon, how many walls you need in the sukkah. The Tanakam was of the opinion 2 in a tefach, and Reb Shimon says 3 in a tefach. And we went through that ba'amkes since the beginning of the week. And there's one last line or last subtopic that we didn't finish. So let's see that in the Gemara. The three lines are of Masna. It's interesting that Matthew and I saw today that in the Yerushalmi and Sukkah and Perak Aleph Alachalf, they have different versions. Our brisa that's quoted in the Bavli is 3 in a tefach or 2 in a tefach. Believe it or not, in the Yerushalmi, as we saw this morning, there are different versions. In fact, one version was in the Dapi Yerushalmi on Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Dapi Yerushalmi was a straight up machlekes. Was it 3 or 4? Not 2 in a tefach, 3 in a tefach, but it was straight up 3 or 4. Reb Shimon Amar Arba, Rabban Amar Shalosh. So I want you to get that down in your notes, that the Yerushalmi has a different version of the Machlekes Reb Shimon and the Chum. It does quote the Brisa that we have in the Bavli as well later, that it's 3 in a tefach or 2 in a tefach. But the Yerushalmi does have another version that it's considered to be what? 3 or 4 straight up. Not that it was chiseled down to a tefach. Okay? So that's the first nakud I want to mention. Yes, Ariel?
It's the same argument, except the last wall is just a full wall?
Yeah, it's a different presentation of the Machlokes. Well, the Bavli has 2 in a tefach, 3 in a tefach. The Yerushalmi has 3 or 4, straight up. 3 complete walls, 4 straight walls. Then the Yerushalmi has what we have in the Bavli. But the different versions quoted, I want you to know that the Yerushalmi Taka has a different version, okay? Right. Yes, Matthew.
In that, the Brisa with the 3 full walls and the 4 full walls, is that just saying the minimum walls you need in the sukkah?
Yeah. But it's not chiseled down to a tefach. It's 3 mamish or 4. 3 complete.
According to that Brisa, Rabbi Shimon would hold that if you have a sukkah, 3 full walls
would be puzzle. That's correct. Absolutely. Okay. Yes, Yonatan.
We had a concept of how much we see, and it could be argued about, but have you ever seen that people just say, no, that how much we see that never existed?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good horror, but they didn't have that version. Must have not had that halachah moshe m'sinai. It's a. I thought about that too. You know, it's interesting.
But especially because it said
Midivrayim. Well, that was one of the versions it had, was Midivrayim, that it said the Shlishis was Midivrayim, but Lomais in the fourth one was Midivrayim, but that was a certain Hesber in the Brisa. I just want you to know the Machleik is straight up. It did say in the Yushami, we said that 3 was Midrabanan, and according to Shimon, the fourth was Midrabanan. It did point that out, so let's point that out as well, as Matthew brought it up. We did say that. But we don't have to get into the details of that. I just want you to know the version. It's a good horror, what you're saying. Okay, but please get that down. So let's see the Bavli. What does our Gemara say? Rav Masna Amar Taimi the Reb Shimon Mehacha. Vesukah Tiel Letzel Yomam Mechor V'lemechsel L'mister Mizerim U'matar. How does Rashi touch this? This is a new svar for Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says you need to have 4 walls because otherwise it won't be a shelter from the rain. If you have 3 walls, the wind will blow the rain in. So Rav Masna comes up with a new theory. Aye, but we know that the Brisa said Reb Shimon said 3 in a tefach. So what must you do? Chisel it down again with the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So even though the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, I want you to get that down. You need the halacha l'moshe m'sinai to chisel it down. But Rashi learns that you have to have what? Rashi learns you have to have 4 walls in order to be a complete shelter from rain. If you had 3, the rain could be blown in. So it's 4 chiseled down to 3 in a tefach based on halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Just want you to get that Rashi and Yeshaya touches the word chorev as being that it comes from heat, that Hashem brings the sum out of its sheath, and it's very, very difficult for the Rishoyim. What does the word zerim mean? Zerim means a fire that comes out of the river in Dinor on the Rishoyim in Gehenim. And the word matar means what? Rain that falls on the Rishoyim. So that's how Rashi and Yeshaya touches it. And the Malbim says that matar is regular rain that falls down, and zerim is what is due That is what, I'm sorry, Zerim is when there's a lot of rain. So Matar is when there's regular rain, and Zerim means a lot of rain. So let's get that, let's make sure we get that. Rashi Nishai again says, Chorev is when Hashem takes the sun out of its sheath, and it's very tough on the Rishoyim. Zerim is a special fire that comes out of the river of Dinor on the Rishoyim in Gehenim, and Matar means it rains on the Rishoyim. So Rashi's views this puzzle kind of like it's an Onish. The Malbin says Matar is regular rain, Zerim means a lot of rain. Okay, so we have this Teich. So let's take a look at the Teiches on the bottom. The last two last Teiches on the Amud, on Vav and Beis. Let's take a look, okay? Rashi, we said Poshup Shad Shelter in 4, chiseled down to 3 in the Tefach. Everyone got the Teiches on the bottom? Yonatan, why don't you read the Teiches on the bottom? Pesuka Tiel Letzel. Let's see the Teiches on the bottom, okay? And then we'll get to the Chukasim Lesnev. But I want to finish this up, Klor. Go ahead. Vavum Abeis on the bottom. Tzuka Tiel Letzel. Go ahead. Yeah, read the Dibra Maskel. Yeah, go ahead.
Tzuka Tiel Letzel. Yerushalmi, I mean, I'm the Rishima, Min, Had, Kriya, Tzuka Tiel Letzel, Letzel Yoma, the Chor, Ariakas, Lumaksa, Lumista, 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 Lumista,
Oh, so how does Yerushalmi's version? Much different than the way the Bavli has it. No? Much, much different. What is it? It says that what? What is Sukkot Tiel Etzel Mechorv? Achas Lamala. What does Lamala mean? Schach. Excellent. Lamechsel and Mister means what? Two walls. And Zeramata means what? Two other walls. There you have it. 4. And therefore the Ochel Mosh Messina chisels it down to 3 in the Tefach. V'Rabban and Amre?
V'Rabban and Amre and Zeramata are
Achas. Exactly. So they have 3 and it's chiseled down to 2 in the Tefach. Well said. So this Yerushalmi has what we have in the Bavli, 3 in the Tefach, a 2 in the Tefach. And that's what it comes out, Lomais, how to read it. But there's a very big difficulty with this that I want you to get down. There's a whole very, very big difficulty with this whole pshat. Yeah, and this pshat in the Gemara itself is a very, very difficult, it seems. Why is it difficult? Because in the back of the Yerushalmi, one of the Gedol Acharim is named the Shiari HaKorban. And the Shiari HaKorban in the back of Masecha Sukkah has the following kasha. I'm going to read it. Sukkah Tiel Etzel Yom Shech Mechor Vare Achas V'Kosha Chiyalfinim Edivri Kabbalah. How can you learn something from Navi? Let's get the kasha down. How do you learn something from Navi? You can't learn something from Navi. The Shiari HaKorban, the Gemara writes in Chagigia and Daf Yudam Ebeis, a very, very strong kashin. In other words, the Gemara says you can't learn out Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah. Here you are, Adam. You can't learn out Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah. Gemara has it in Baba Kama, on Beis and Beis. The Gemara has it in Chagiga. Good to see you. The Gemara has it in Chagiga as well. On Daf Yudam and Beis is a strong kashin. How do you learn out? Rav Mazda says, I have a new theory of Rav Shimon with 4 walls. How could this be? So I want you to get, we're going to give 2 terutz into this kasha, okay? The number 1 terutz I want to give to this kasha is as follows. That a lot of times, and I remember I heard this from Rav Shechter Shlita in the name of the Rav, a lot of times the Navi can teach you how to touch a Paskin Chumash. I'll give you an example. The Rambam writes in Pirik Lamed and Hilchos Shabbos that on the Deraisa level, what is Shabbos? Zachor v'Shamor. Zachor is what? All the positive things. What's Shamor? All the negative things. The 39 Malachas. What is Zachor? So the Navi Yeshaya teaches what Zachor means. Do you know what Zachor means? It means Kiddush, but it also means Kavod V'Onig. And the Rambam writes this empiric Lamed in Halacha Aleph and Uchel Shabbos. Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos. Shnayim Min HaTorah V'Shnayim Min Divrei Sofer. V'Hein Mefurashim Al Divrei Nevim. And the Nevim were Masber to us. Shabbatorah Zachor Rishomer of Nisparshu Al Yedei Nevim, and the Nevim touched up what Zachor meant. Covered the Onik Shemar Krat Al Shabbos Onik Ras Al Shabbos Onik Kodesh Shem Mechubin. And the Rambam goes on to say, as the Vilna Gaon's Masber, covered are all the things you do before Shabbos. Onik are all the things you do what? Onik all the things you do on Shabbos. But you see, the Navi Yeshaya touched up what Zachor meant. You follow me? That's Perak Lamed Alach Alf. The Chassam Sofer says the same thing as the Rav. The Rav is Mechavin the Chassam Sofer. How to touch this Ramba. So in the same vein, we could suggest the following to answer the Shiari HaKorban's kasha. And the Aruch Lanier says something similar to this as well. And that is that what? Is that the bottom line is, the Aruch Lanier says this in the second teretz. Rav Masna says, what's the Iker Drosh in the Torah? Let's get it down. Aruch HaNir says this in the second Teretz. What's the Iker Drosh in for this din? Sukkah, sukkah, sukkah. Exactly. But what does Yeshaya Navi touch up for me? Touch means he translates. What does the word sukkah mean? The word sukkah means a shelter that what? That doesn't let any rain come in. You follow what I'm saying? Just like the Rav, some of us have shot in the Rambam, the Navi Yeshaya touches for me what? The Navi Yeshaya touches me for what the Pusik means. And therefore the Iker is that says many times sukkah, but it says in Yeshaya what the sukkah, how to be dairus the psukim. And that's exactly what the Aruch Lanier is really driving at, halacha l'maisa. Okay? That's what the Aruch Lanier wants to basically drive at. And I think that's the answer of what the Shari HaKorban is as well. What's the Shari HaKorban's answer? Yesh Lomba, let's get it down. The Gilui Milsa Ba'almahi. The Dolchik. What does Gilui Milsa Ba'almah mean? That we're Darish, how many psukim what? What are we Darish? We are not Darish, how many dolphins have to mean a sukkah? We're Darish, what's the tzura of a sukkah? So once we know what the tzura of a sukkah is, it kind of like what? It's considered to be like a Gilui Milsa. And the Gilui Milsa is that the Navi Yeshaya is teaching to me how to touch the words in sukkah. That's what I want to suggest he means. So in the answer to Shari HaKorban, it's like the Aruch Lanier. You got me? When he says it's Gilui Milsa, it means that he's begalit to us what the Torah means. That's what I want to suggest the answer is of the Shari HaKorban, the second answer Aruch Lanier. But there's one other answer I want you to get, and that is that the Aruch Lanier says in the first answer that it was a halach l'moshe m'sinai, how many walls you have in the sukkah, and we have to find a pasuk to hang it on. What pasuk do you find to hang it on? Pasuk in Yeshaya. So that's a completely different theory, a different answer. Really, it's halach l'moshe m'sinai how many walls it is. Just we need to hang the halach l'moshe m'sinai on a pasuk somewhere in Tanakh, so Rav Masna found it for us. Yeah, it's not an asmachta. I wouldn't say asmachta, but it's like a smach. In other words, we know it's halacha l'mitzvah, we want to plug it into a pasuk. Hang it on a pasuk. That's different than the first answer we're giving. First answer we're giving is the Navi's touching the pasuk in Chumash for us. The second answer is, no, that it was halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we want to find a pasuk we can hang the halacha l'moshe m'sinai on. So those are the two answers I want you to get to answer this kasha, and that's the uniqueness of what? Of Rav Masna. I mean, the bottom line is, the Sefer Emek Sukkos points out, even according to Rashi, that you learn it's got to be a shelter from rain, he still agrees at the end of the day that it's not the greatest shelter in the rain, because you chisel it down to what? To a tefach. There's still rain that can get in, and there's no doubt at the end of the day you're going to have to say that. That's what the Sefer Emek Sukkos points out. He says a sukkah is made through lavud. What does lavud mean, we know? You know, a bunch of sticks. Rain will get in there. So you see the Ferish Lomais at the end of the day, it's really halach l'moshe m'sinai. That's what I'm adding on with this second answer. That really it's halach l'moshe m'sinai. We're just hanging it on a pasuk. But the first answer may be a little bit different. Okay? First answer may be a little bit different. That it's really what he's teaching us, how to touch the word sukkos. Okay. Very, very good. Yes, Yonatan.
So just to clarify, the second answer would have worked with the Maariv Yerushalmi.
Yeah, because the Yerushalmi that we want to say the Shari HaKorban's answer, the way we want to read it, is that he's teaching a pasuk. The Navi's telling us how to mimazra a pasuk and chumash.
I'm saying the second answer, we're trying to find out.
Like, second answer also is... the second answer saying is halach l'moshe m'sinai also, it could maybe work with the Yerushalmi, it's possible. Well, the Yerushalmi does in the second brice, we said. Not in the first one, remember? I said the second one, it does. It does chisel it down. So it does have that version. Okay, so that's the... Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
Two questions.
Yes.
One, according to the brice in the Yerushalmi that said that midivrei could we use that as another...
Well, that's a completely different. That's not even a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's only the rabbanon.
Because I'm saying we had the halacha that was.
Well, that's the that version. That okay, could be. Yeah, that would fit in. But that was to be mazur 3 or 4.
Yeah.
That the fourth was mid rabbanon. Maybe makiv. Yes, mid rabbanon makiv level d'raisa. Yeah, go ahead.
Can we do shir l'nishmas Avram
David? Yes, the shir we're giving now is Avram the zecher nishmas.
Avram David ben
Yafa. Avram David ben Yafa. May his neshama go to highest points of Gan Eden. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, one more nakuda, and then we got to go to the topic of Chukusim Lo Salech. Mayor, you had a kasha?
Nope.
Okay. It was asked yesterday in Shir, how do we paskin on the case of Raviz Dam? It's Metame. can you take a puddle of blood from two mesim or do you need one? Remember we had the whole mahalach and lumdus. So we said, remember a few guys asked me, how do we paskin? I said, imagine, I would imagine we hold like the chachamim. I found it today. Let's get it down. Perek tal, l'chalach, l'stumis meis. Reviz dam, haba mishne meisim, tahora. Ad shite kol revizu meis echad. Plain and simple. He says, we paskin like the chachamim, like we thought. And therefore, it's got to be from one meis. And what was the lumdus we said? It's not a shear in the reviz, it's a din in the manifestation of the what? Of the meis. Therefore, it's got to be one meis. Okay. Very good. Okay, let's go now. Tomorrow, many people observe Thanksgiving, so we want to investigate that as we do it, as we always say in halacha. You always investigate it through the psukim, through the shas, and the poskim, what the story is about, the observance of Thanksgiving. And that really brings us to the sugya of B'chukosayim lo tzelechem. Okay, we know there is a pasuk in Chumash and Parshas B'chukosai. They are not supposed to walk in the statutes of non-Jews. And Targum Unklus on that pasuk, Taiches, he says, B'chukosayim lo tzelechem, he says it means, refers to nemusim. What does nemusim mean? Behavior, mannerisms. Okay? So the Targum Unklus says right off the bat, B'chukosayim lo tzelechem is referring to nemusim, behaviorism. And there is a notion that the Jewish people should in fact be different than the non-Jewish people. In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvahs Beis, which I gave you, says that's one of the results of the mitzvah of Milah. Hashem wanted us to be physically demarcated different than non-Jewish men. And therefore, Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Milah. This is what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. Now, this sugya of B'chukosayim lo tzelechem has two places in Shas. The first place in the Shas is a Gemara that I gave you. Everyone has the packet in front of them. Let's take a look at it. Adam, you want to read? Let's see the Mishnah Maseches Sanhedrin. Here you are, Dovi. There are two sugis in Shasta. One is Nun Beis and Beis. We always try to say you got to try to be like a Lamdin. You don't just say it's a Mutter or Usser. Let's look at the sugya B'chukosayim lo tzelechem on Nun Beis and Aleph. Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Adam. Yeah, let's see the Mishnah. Right. There is a mitzvah Beis Din. Let's just get down. The Rambam took it so seriously, the mitzvah Arba Mitzvahs Beis Din, that he lists them as four distinct mitzvahs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. There's a special mitzvah Skila, special mitzvah Sreifa, special mitzvah Hereg, special mitzvah Chenek. To that degree, the Rambam lists as four distinct mitzvahs, and the Ramban writes, what do you need to list them as four distinct mitzvahs? It's all a kiyum of biyar tahara mikirbecha. That if there's an evil guy in your midst, the Chumash says get rid of him. The Ramban has asag on the Rambam. Why do you have to list four distinct mitzvahs? It's a mitzvah biyar tahara mikirbecha. As long as we're mentioning it, the Rambam even mitzvah the mitzvah of tliya as a fifth mitzvah. Again, the Rambam says there are four distinct mitzvahs, Ariel. Arba mitzvahs beitzin, skilas refa erik v'chenek. The Ramban says, why do you got to list one that's separate? They're all a kiyum of biyar tahara mikirbecha. In fact, the Rambam has a fifth mitzvah called tliya. Do you know what tliya means? Hanging. We paskin like the chacham, you only hang a guy by avodah zarah and by megadef. Okay? Rabbi Lazar says anyone who's stoned is nitla. We don't hold like Rabbi Lazar. We hold like the chachamim. And the Rambam actually lists tliya hanging as a fifth mitzvah. Believe it or not. So the topic of b'chukosayim lo tzelechem starts here in Shas with the mitzvah of Herod. And I call it a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. So the Chachamim say the mitzvah of Herod. What do you get Herod for, guys? Murder. There's Adam and Asra, Kabbalah Asra, the guy says, and he kills someone, we give him Herod, yes. So what do the Chachamim say? You see it, Ariel? We cut his head off with a sword like the government does. The non-Jewish government used to do that with the guillotine. Kederach Shamachus Osa. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. Go ahead, Rabbi Yehuda Omer.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nivahu.
Nivahu law. This is disgusting. What are you talking about? Why would you do such a thing? The Gemara later on, we're not going to see that one inside, but the Gemara says, V'afta l'reach ha-kamocha, bror lo misa yofa. Rav Rosenzweig actually once discussed that. That the Gemara makes a drasha of V'afta l'reach ha-kamocha, you should choose a nice death. V'afta l'reach ha-kamocha usually is with a, I love your neighbor like yourself because he's alive. But the Gemara makes a drasha that it applies even to a guy who is dead. We don't give a guy a bad death. So why would you do such a thing? It's disgusting. It's nivuhu lo. Go ahead, Ella. You put his head on a thick piece of board that's stuck into the ground. Go ahead. Yeah, you know what kotzis bekofif means? Is you take a hatchet. You take a hatchet and you knock his head off. Is that any better? So what did they say back to him? Amr lo. Oh, Chum say, you know what? That's disgusting. That's even more disgusting. So give me a break, the Chum basically are saying. You should do like we said. Take a look at that top, this the third Tosis, Reb Yehuda. We'll get back to the fourth one, do the Gemara. Just read Reb Yehuda, Omer.
Reb Yehuda, Omer, Nibble, who is that? Lo Karile, Nibble, Elamishum, Yosibu, Kuku, Samo, Zilebu, Kidamuba.
Right, we're going to see, God willing, in the Gemara that Reb Yehuda knew that his suggestion was disgusting. He knew that it was even maybe more disgusting. Ariel, you got me? Maybe it was even more disgusting. But why did Reb Yehuda say what he said? Because at least it's not like the non-Jews. At least it's not like the non-Jewish government does. What he does, Reb Yehuda says, I know it, my thing might be more disgusting. But you know what? My definition of disgusting is doing like the non-Jews. And therefore, since my approach is not like the non-Jews, it's fine. Okay? We got that? Everyone got that in Tosfos? Okay? That's what Tosfos is saying. Because he knew that it was more disgusting. Now let's see the Gemara. The Gemara picks up on the addendum. Go ahead. Let's just read the Rashi on the Mishnah. Go ahead, Adam. You're doing a great job. Masnissen, go ahead.
Rashi,
yeah, Rashi. Masnissen, Nivul, who's that? Let's just read the Rashi in the Mishnah quick. Yeah, read the Dibra Maskel there, because it goes good. Nivul, who's that? Yeah, you kill him while he's standing, right? And he falls down. I mean, it's really not right. I mean, the way they chop his head off like that. So he says, go ahead. Right. Right, so what you do is you put him on this thick board that's stuck in the ground. So it's kind of like commotion nafachim. So nafachim means like the blacksmiths, okay? So I don't think he's lying down, you know what I mean? I don't think he's lying down on the ground, but he's like on a board, you know what I mean? So it's not like he's standing on his own and he's chopped his head off. It's a little bit different, no?
His head's on the board.
His head is on the board on the ground? It's lying horizontal on the ground?
I picture like,
or is it vertical?
He's kneeling, and his head is on the board.
But he's not standing like the Chachamim said, they just chop his head off.
No, because that was a little...
Right, I'm just trying to differentiate, what does it mean according to Reb Yehuda? Was he also standing?
No, that's why Reb Yehuda said it's Minavellus, because the guy was standing.
So what, according to Reb Yehuda, what are you doing?
The guy is like crouching down.
He's crouching down? Okay, fine, very good. He's not standing regular. I thought he's on this eighth ava and he's takua ba'aretz, so he's like not fully standing like Yonatan saying. Very good. Excellent. I think nafachim means like blacksmiths. Okay, good. Let's see the Gemara now. A lot of times in Shas, as we mentioned, there are addendums to the Mishnayos from Brises. Let's see. Go ahead. Tanya. Continues the conversation. Rabbi Yehuda says, I know it's bad. Aval. Yeah, what can I do? Shari what? There it is, guys. Our topic. I cannot do what the goyim do. I cannot. And therefore, I'm going to do a different approach. Go ahead. Where is Saif written in the Torah? By what topic? Irani Dachas. In Sefer Dorm. Does everyone know Irani Dachas? The idolatrous city. That everyone in the city gets what? No, everyone in the city gets Saif. Normally, an individual that does regular Avodah Zarah gets what? Skila. But if you're a citizen of Irani Dachas and you're an Avodah Zarah in that city, you get Saif, but your property is burnt. Correct, Matthew? A regular guy who does Avodah Zarah, he's given Skila, but his property's not touched. His property's not touched. You got that, Chiluk?
Yeah.
An individual does Avodah Zarah, he's given Skila, but his property's not touched. If you're a member of Irani Dachas that does Avodah Zarah, you're given Saif and your property's burnt. Okay, go ahead. We got to get everything exact, okay? So what did the Rabbanan say to that? Again, read again in Rabbanan, Adam. Rabbanan. Excellent. Since Saif is written in the Torah, you know what? From today until tomorrow, I am not learning from you. Lav minayu, from you, Gamrina, I'm not learning from you. I do what the Torah says. And therefore, the Chum say, we stick to what we say. Don't give me the business, b'chukosem lo salechu. It's not b'chukosem lo salechu. So at this point in the Gemara, let's prove it. Dilo Temahachi, go ahead. There used to be a practice that when a Jewish king would die, you know what they would do? They would burn his bed and all his utensils. to show that all these things are worthless now that the guy's dead. Jewish people would do this in honor of the Jewish king. How could they do that? Sorfen amalachim v'lo what? And there's no Isra of B'chukes Melayim Los Lecho. That word Darkei Amor is like a code word for B'chukes Melayim Los Lecho. It's not an Amorite way, so it's Mutter. But how? Go ahead. Heichi what? Excellent. How do you burn it? It's a breach of B'chukes Melayim Los Lecho. Ella? When Sidkiyahu the Melech died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that what? He directed, I believe it was Yeshaya, to burn his stuff. So what's the pshat? Go ahead. Oh, because we're not doing it from then. So since we're not doing it to learn from them, Vahakanami, go ahead. Excellent, very good. So what do you got from the Maskanas HaGemara? We always try to get everything clear. What do you take away? What's the takeaway from this Gemara? It's Nun Beis and Beis. That there's a fundamental machlokes. Go ahead, Yonatan. Between Rabbi Yudin and the Chacham. According to the Chacham, it's written in the Torah. We don't view that as Chesem Los Alechu. According to Rabbi Yudah, doesn't make a difference. You follow me? Even if it's written in the Torah, it doesn't make a difference. Still a breach of Chesem Los Alechu. That's the takeaway from this Gemara, Meseches what? Meseches Sanhedrin, Bedaf what? Bedaf Nun Beis and Mebeis. You got this, Chlor? Again, according to the Chacham and Ariel, that if it's written in the Torah, you follow. If it's written in the Tanakh, it's not a breach of Los Alechu. If the behavior is recorded, it's Mutter. According to Rabbi Yudah, I don't care if it's recorded. If the non-Jews did it, it's usher. Therefore, Buddha says we do Herig in a different way. Come say, no, we do it like the Goyim do it. Not because the Goyim did it, because we did it in what's in Tanakh. Okay, let's turn. Yeah, go ahead, Chaim. Yes, what do you say?
From the Rabbanan, it's still considered a folk because we have a head there.
Poshup Shad in the Gemara, we're going to get to the Tosis, but I want to set it up with the Gemara first in the Avodah Zarah. Simplest reading the Gemara is that what? Is that it's considered to be what? It's considered to be the way Tysus teaches it here. It's mashma here that it is a chok. Okay? It is a chok, but the machlokes is there a heter if it's recorded in the Chumash? Chum say yes, Rabbi Yudah say no. Okay? That's the impression you get from this Gemara. Before we see the Tysim, I want to see the other Gemara first. Where's the other Gemara? Next page in the packet. Let's go. Meseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay? Let's take a look. What's the background behind this? At the two dots there. Go ahead, Adam. You're doing a great job. There's a Mishnah on Daf. I think it was Daf Ches Amud Aleph, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It was Ches. Remember Matthew, Baruch Hashem? We found it. On Ches Amud Aleph, it states, you're not allowed to do business with the non-Jews or pagans. You know, the Meiri writes maybe over 30, 40 times in the Maseches Avodah Zarah that the non-Jews nowadays are not the same pagans that existed Bizman HaGemara. So the dinim might be different. But the Mishnayos and the Gemara talk about if you're not allowed to do business. The Meiri. Yeah, they're not pagans. They're not pagans. We'll talk about the religion of Christianity, Catholicism, how we view that. That's other Shem. We got to get to it. But Lamaisa, let me just point out the Mishnah on Daf Ches Manav says you're not allowed to do business with a pagan on the day of the birth of his idol or the day of the death of the idol. Okay? That's where it is. Let's start from the two dots. You know what's going to happen? Because if he does a deal with you, what's going to happen? He's going to go down, bow down to his idol. So you've caused him to be over Lif Neiver. You were over Lif Neiver. And he caused him to do Avodah Zarah. Okay? Lif Neiver for us. There's Lif Neiver for us. I'm not allowed to be machshel a guy to do Avodah Zarah. It's one of the Shemitz B'nai Noach.
Even if I'm being machshel a guy?
Yes. Absolutely. What are the two famous examples of Lif Neiver and Avodah Zarah of Avam Adbeis? I'm not allowed to give a Kos Yain L'Nazar. That guy's Jewish. What's the second example? Avram Menachai to who? To a Goy. One of the Shemitz B'nai is Avram Menachai. So the prime example is Avram Menachai. Okay? That's a different discussion. Now for now, Yonatan, whether Goyim or Mitzuvah themselves in Lif Neiver. That depends whether it's Nisr Klali or Nisr Prati. That's a Lamda Shishayla. Is Lif Neiver Nisr Klali or Nisr Prati? If it's Nisr Klali, general, it's just not one of the Shemitz B'nai off. But if it's Nisr Prati, then it could be that every part of every mitzvah, they have to make sure that it calls other people to do it too. Okay? I'll give you a nafkamina. Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, the great Gaon, my Rebbe, pointed out to us. There's a machlokes Balamor, Ramban, and Sanhedrin. If someone takes a gun to my head and says, I want you to be machshel this fellow Jew in Avodah Zarah, or Goy, it could be. Am I allowed to do that, or I have to let myself be killed? That's how Machlokes Ramban says like you. The Balamor says, I have to let myself be killed. He's got to shoot me. I cannot do it. What does it depend upon? What is lifnei iver of avodah zarah? I'm causing a guy to do avodah zarah. If you view it as an iser klali, then you're right. Fachaybem, it's not one of the shlosh averus. But if it's an iser prati, what does it mean? It's subsumed under the iser of what? Avodah zarah, and therefore I have to let myself be killed. You follow me? It's a general shayla lum. This is how you view lifnei iver. Okay? But, oh, so let's look at the, go ahead, Adam. Yom leida, yom is, everyone got it? Go ahead. Yeah, read the Dibur HaMasku, the Yom HaLeida, yeah.
Yom HaLeida, Yom HaMisra.
Yes, go ahead. I don't care whether they burn his stuff on the day of the idol's death or not. It's Usher. Go ahead, Palche. Yeah, they're going to bow down to their idol. Therefore, you can't do business with them. Alma. You see, that Sreifa is not a Chukahi. Reb Meir says, even if they don't burn it, what? It's still lost there, because it's not part and parcel of their avoda. Go ahead. But the Rabbanan say no. The Rabbanan are of the opinion that what? The Rabbanan argue over there in that Mishnah, and the Rabbanan say not that way. The Rabbanan say only if it's a avodah zarah that they burn, they do a chokavu of doing a sreif on the guy's death. But lamaisa, if they don't, it's not a problem. So you see that sreif is a chok. Frek the Gemara. But we Jewish people did burn for Jewish kings that died. It was not a problem with the Amorites. So why you of chukah simul slechus? Why do you say that according to the Rabbanan Sreif is a chukah? Go ahead. Excellent, Vaksiv. Beautiful. Ella, what? Ella. The bottom line is that Sreif, according to both Rabbi Miracham, is not a chukah. Go ahead. It's a chashivis. They show chashivis to the. They feel bad. The guy's dead. The pagan's dead. Go ahead. Excellent. No matter what, they serve their avodah zarah. So therefore, the day is also to do business with them. Go ahead. Chashivalu. Oh. Very good. But at the end of the day, it seems to be that Sreifa is not a what? It's not a chok. So, even before you see the Taisim inside, it seems like we have a blatant steer in Shas. The first Gemara we said in what? In Sanhedrin, we conveyed that what? That everyone holds that what? That it's a chok, as Chaim asked. But the question is there a heter because written in the Torah? Rabbi Yudah says yes, Chaim says no. But the bottom line is Sreifa chukah? Yes! What that's the upshot of the Gemara where? That's the summary of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What's the summary of our Gemara in Avodah Zarah? That it's not a what? It's not a chok. So make up your mind, Shas. It's a stira. So let's go back to the first page. Let's see Tyson Sanhedrin first. Okay? This is very important, guys. This starts the whole sugya of Kosem Losalech. Okay, go ahead. Let's see the Tysus. Oh. There it is. Even though it's a chok, but since written in Torah, it's mutter. Go ahead to the parak. Masik lav chuki. So the Gemara's conclusion of what is it? It's not a chok. And our Gemara says it is a chok. Stira. Go ahead. This is a brisker taisus, guys. Okay? This is a brisker taisus. Go ahead. Yesh lomar. Wow. Aval what? Oh, so Tosis says there's Svei Dinim. What's Svei in Yiddish?
Two.
This Svei Dinim. There's two types of chok. Says the Taisus, amazing Kiddush. Zok Taisus. There's two types of chok. I want you to get this clear. Taisus says the same thing in Avodah Zarah. Taisus Machadesh, that there's a chok, l'shem Avodah Zarah. That is usher, even if it's written in the Torah. Usher, Afilu, Katuv, Batorah. I don't care if the Torah says to do it. If the non-Jews would start, you know, if the non-Jews would start bowing down to Lulavim, we would not shake a lulav on Sukkot. Do you know that? We would not. One chok is the Shemor Afilu Katuv Batorah is Usher. And then there's a chok, Shalom L'Shem Avodah Zarah, which is, as Tosos writes in the Seches Avodah Zarah, it's El L'Shem Shtus V'Hevel. It's L'Shem Shtus V'Hevel. And that type of chok is mutter if it's what? If it's written in the Torah according to who? According to Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the Chachamim, even if it's written in the Torah, it's what? What do we say? What's the machlokes in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Right. According to the Chachamim, if it's written in the Torah, it's fine. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's not written in the Torah, it's what? It's considered to be Asr. So Tosfos says, when the Gemara says it's not a chok l'shem avodah zarah. Here, when the Gemara says it's a chok, what type of chok is it? It's a chok that is l'shem shtus. So we just solve the stira. It's no stira. When the Gemara says over here in Maseches what? Seches Sanhedrin, it's a chok l'shem shtus v'hevel. When the Gemara says it's not a chok over there, what did it mean? It's not a chok l'avodah zarah. So they're on the same page. It's an ingenious way to answer the stira. So it comes out, l'maisa, that according to Tosfos, you have two types of what? Two types of chok that are considered to be what? Considered to be l'shem, that are usher. One's connected with avodah zarah, one is not. Now I would tell you, according to Tosfos, there's a notion of abizrayu. What is abizrayu? A subcategory. Someone takes a gun to my head. Someone takes a gun to my head and says, I want you to embarrass someone in public, I'm going to kill you. So according to the Tosfos and Sot and the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Tosfos and Sot, the Yudimiz, that's considered to be Ritzicha. That's an abizrayu. I can't let myself be killed. I cannot do it. I have to let myself be killed. I have to let myself be killed. The Ramah argues. The Miri says you don't have to. So I'm saying, what would you say about someone takes a gun to my head and says, there's a chok l'avodah zarah? What would you say?
You have to make this longer.
If it's the first track, then what? I'd have to let myself be killed. If it's the second track, then I would not call that an abizrayu. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? There's two tracks of chok. You got it, Adam? That's how we solve it. Now I want you to get this down. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. We don't have time to do the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah inside, but I want you to get it down. One sec, Matthew. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah gives you an example of something that switched. The din of a matzeva. What is a matzeva? They used to set up matzevas during the times of the Avos. During the times of the Avos, Hashem loved those. Hashem loved matzevos. And then Sefer Dvarim, what does it say in the Chumash? It says it's Usher. What happened? They became hated. Because you know who took over doing them? Pagans. So they became Usher. So that's what Tosfos gives an example of matzeva, where he says, Beferish, this din. Okay? And therefore it comes out, and therefore Tosfos concludes there, Beseches Avodah Zarah, the same as our Tosfos. He says that Kopitz, it depends whether Kopitz is fit into a cheriv or not. And that depends in the Pasuk or not. According to what? According to Yehuda, Lamaisa, and that's Skufa the Machlaikis, whether that's considered a fit in or not with Kopitz. Is a Kopitz is a hatchet. Is Kopitz under cheriv or not? So Rabbi Yehuda would say it is. The Rabbanan say what? No, it's not. Halacha Lamaisa. Okay? But it's interesting. Comes out, Lamaisa, that we have this fundamental Machlaikis between what? Between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but there's Svei Dinim of Chok. There's Svei Dinim of Chok. Two types of Chok. Yes, go ahead, Matthew.
If it's not connected
at all to Avodah Zarah. If it's not connected at all to Avodah Zarah, then it's the Hevel V'Shtus.
What I'm saying is, how do we make that?
You have to do the research. Right. You have to do research historically. It's not connected with Avodah Zarah. But we're going to get to what you're saying with the Chiddushi with the Ran. Right. So please get this down. We got the Tosfos? Yes, Mayor.
So Rabbi Yehuda holds that beheading is connected to Avodah Zarah, or he just doesn't hold by that chiluk?
No, he says that the chok, the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. The question is it making mutter? So the Chum says, as long as it's written in the Chumash, it says Sayef, then it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough.
even if it's not.
Yeah, it's got to be different. Halacha l'maisa. It's got to be different. Okay. No, this is all within both l'maisa. Yeah, within both. Again, let's summarize. The Gemara in Sanhedrin said that it was a chok. Yes.
Yeah.
Machlokus was if it's written in there is a mut or not. The Gemara's conclusion in Avodah Zarah was it was not a chok. It's a stirim. So he says no. When it says chok by us, it means a chok l'shem hevel v'shtus. It was not connected with the Avodah Zarah. So plug it in. Is it mutter? Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter l'may. It's still aser unless because it's got to be written. Just because it's written in the Torah doesn't mean anything. According to the Chum, it's hevel v'shtus. It's written in the Torah. It's mutter because I'm not doing lehevel v'shtus. That makes it mutter, right? But if it's a chok l'shem Avodah Zarah, I don't care. Even if it's written in the Torah, it's aser. Everyone will say like that. Okay. That's what Tosis points out here in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. In the Tosis there, whether it's the Kopitz, is it considered to be part of it or not? Because if it's not written in the Torah, then you can't do it. So it says, Saif's written in the Torah, Lashon Harigin. So you can fulfill that with a Kopitz. You can fulfill that with a hatchet. Aye, it says Cherev. A Kopitz is considered to be part of Cherev. The Rabbanans say no. They say Kopitz is a Misa Menuvelis, and therefore what? You shouldn't do it. Okay, fine. So, if you look in the Ran, though, the Ran has a different approach, and let's get to it. The Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah, it's in the back, and it's also in the Chedushi Ran in Maseches Sanhedrin. They say as follows, okay, the Ran, same Ran, he basically says like this, he is cholek, and he says there's not two approaches, there's not Svei Dinim, there are not Svei Dinim in Chok. The Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah says, any minig that is connected with the Avodah Zarah is usher. And this is what I think you were hinting at before, Matthew. He says, anything that, any actions with Kusha Avodah Zarah is usher under the rubric of Chusem Lo Salech Ariel. And he says, also Maisim that make no sense. Actions that have no rhyme and reason behind them. If you research them well enough, the Ran says, you'll bet your bottom dollar you'll find out they're connected with the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, he paskins Halach L'Maisa, like the Sugyan of Avodah Zarah, that burning on the Malachim, Halacha L'maisa, was not considered to be an Avodah Zarah. Could not have been an Avodah Zarah. Otherwise, it would never be Mutter. And the reason why they did it was to pay honor and to pay respect to the king. But in a Hanami, there's only one track. And one track is Chukasim Lo Salechem, are actions that are connected with Avodah Zarah, and add on, under that rubric is actions that have no rhyme or reason. If you bet your bottom dollar, you do research, you'll find out they're connected with the Avodah Zarah. So it comes out that according to Tosos, Tosos solves the stira by developing these two types of chokim. According to the Ran, does the Ran solve the stira? No, he doesn't. He passes like the sugyan of Avodah Zarah, and he says the only thing that is usher are things that are makusher with Avodah Zarah. Yes, Matthew, go ahead.
So I understand that anything that has history in Avodah Zarah,
yes,
right, it comes from people of Avodah, so therefore it's been, you know, we don't want to do it because whatever. But something, let's just say what Rebbe's example was, if they bow down to Lulav, right? Something that preceded before was Avodah Zarah was originally a Torah value that they took from us. Why would that, like,
because
the Svara behind?
Because anything that becomes Mekusha with Avodah Zarah becomes what is considered to be a problem, Al Pi Din.
So I'm not saying Lomdus, I'm saying just conceptually, it's like similar to Lo Nir La Akum that we are so much so we don't want to look like a Goy.
We're going to get to it now. Very good. So based on this Ran's approach, there's a later Rishon that's called the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik writes in the Tshuvas in Shorish Peches, the Ma'arik writes the following. He also says there's only one track, and he says like this, if you do something that the non-Jews do that has no rhyme and reason, it shows that they're really what? It shows that we want to be like the non-Jews, and it's usher, and he develops this new track called a Devarim Shel Gaiva. Devarim Shel Gaiva is considered to be a new track, and therefore what the Pasuk said to say for Devarim Pirkei Beis, Pasuk Lamed, Hishamer Lecha Penti Nakesh Achareim. We're not supposed to walk where begotim of preaches that goyim have. And he writes the following definition. I want you to get this. Yehudi lo mechuyu liol shonim egoyim b'chlau. A yid doesn't have to be different than the goyim. Ella what? What's the getter? He has to be shelo liyos kamo goyim. He cannot wear begotim shel gaivin preaches. And therefore, the Ma'arik says that a doctor who wears a white coat is permissible, a Jewish doctor. Aye, non-Jewish doctors wear a white coat. Wear a white coat. But the Ramah quotes the Ma'arik that it's mutter. Because I'm not doing it to be like what? To be like a non-Jew. That's the profession. The doctor's profession, Ariel, wears what? Wears white coats. So since it wears a white coat, I'm not doing it to be like a non-Jew. So therefore, this is not Lashin. There's a reason behind it. There's a rhyme and a reason, a rationale. Things, number one track are things in the Mekushal of Avodah Zarah. Number two track are things that have no rhyme or reason, but are begotten of Gaivin Preetzes. A doctor's coat is not considered a what? A Mekushal of Avodah Zarah. And it's not the second track either of Gaivin Preetzes. And therefore, the Ramah writes that it's Mutter, Al Pi Halacha. The Ramah writes that it's Mutter, based on this Ma'arik. And in theory, very similar to the Ron's approach, that if it's not Mekushal of Avodah Zarah, and there's a rhyme and reason behind it, then it's Mutter. Because if there's no rhyme and reason, if you're researching enough, Ariel, it's going to be connected with the Avodah Zarah. Please get that down. But the doctor's coat has a reason behind it. Based on this, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, let's get it. It says that a person can attain Masapra, Bekumi, Ariz, Medarki, Amori, Avtalumas, Benruvi, Nitalo, Lasapra, Kumi, Neshu, Karav, Amachlis. There was a tzaddik named Avtalomas Bar Reuven, who had a certain haircut that was a Goyish haircut, like the non-Jewish ministers. But the Gemara says it's Darki Amori. How was he allowed to do it? Karav Lamalchus. Because he was Karav Lamalchus. So the Tosfos says here, they didn't make Xerah on Krovim Lamalchus. They didn't make Xerahs on Karav, because why? Because he wouldn't have been able to what? He wouldn't have been able to help the Jewish people. So the Bach in your day, Simon Kufayin Ches, the Maskim Misha Karov, writes exactly this pshat. And the Beis Yosef is Masber. He did it Latovas Klal Yisrael. That's Doka the Yisrael Chukusim Los Aleichu. And the Bach writes, without that haircut, they wouldn't have listened to him. They'd have thrown him out of the kingdom. And therefore, this is all going with the Mahalach of the Ma'arik. You are not doing it to be like a goy. He was doing it to speak to the minister, to the king, for the help of the Jews. If you're not doing it to be like the non-Jews, then it's mutter. It's not makusha with the Avodah Zarah, and it's not without any rhyme or reason. Then it becomes permissible. So therefore, if you follow this theory of the Ma'arik with the Ramah, that he can wear the white coats, and this heter of this Jewish, this great tzaddik that had a haircut like that, but he did it for a reason, then if you gather together for Thanksgiving, to pay hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be with the family, l'maisa, I'm not doing it to be like the non-Jews in America. I'm following because there's a rhyme and reason behind it. There's a rhyme and reason behind it. Then one could suggest that what? That would be okay. Because I'm not doing it to be like the non-Jews. I'm not doing it to be like the non-Jews. One sec, Chaim. One sec, Matthew. However, the Vilna Gaon, please get it down, the Birak Ra, on the bottom of the page of the Roman Kufayin Ches in your day, please get it, argues. And he says that a Jewish doctor cannot wear a white coat. He argues on that. And he says, until you can prove to me that there's a marker in Shas, or Medrash, that this is the reason why we're doing that, you can't find any marker in Shas or Medrash that a Jewish doctor has to wear a white coat. And until you do find me that, you know why you're doing it? Because you want to be like the non-Jews. The Vilna Gaon. You want to be like the non-Jews. And therefore the Vilna Gaon asserted it. Lishitoso, the Vilna Gaon, writes, he was Mavatel on Shavuos. The Ramah writes, you should put flowers in your shuls on Shavuos to decorate the shul because the foliage was beautiful in Har Sinai when Hashem gave us the Torah. The Vilna Gaon said he got rid of that minig in Vilna. Why? Why did he get rid of the minig in Vilna? He says, you're doing it because the churches do that. There's no marker anywhere in Shas or Medrash that you have to dress up your shuls like that. The Ramah said that. But he says, there's no marker anywhere that you have to do that. Why are you doing it? Must be you doing it to be like the chapels. And therefore it was Mavata the minig. No, the Ramah says. The Ramah says, we're doing it to be like Har Sinai. There's beautiful foliage. But there's no marker for it. Ramah says, I don't need a marker. As long as my motive is when I wear the white coat, the doctor, I'm not doing it to be like the non-Jews. I'm doing it, that's the profession. The Ramah says, as long as you have a rhyme and reason, it's fine. The Gaon says, no, you need to find a mucker. Until you find a mucker, it's usser. Until you find a mucker, it's tak usser. I'll be a lochet. So Lamaisa comes out that it could be very well, according to the Vilna Gaon, he would prohibit Thanksgiving. And they would say, why are you doing it? Doesn't say any mucker on the third Thursday in November. Where does it say in a mucker in Shas or Medrash that you should get together with the family? You're doing it because you want to be like the non-Jews. Therefore, it would be prohibited. So it comes out to be the Ramah's working like the Ma'arik. The Ramah's working like the Ma'arik. And the Gaon has a different approach. The Gaon would answer it. What do you think would be according to Taisvus? Taisvus would be, this is not a, you have to look into Thanksgiving. Was it a Chok L'Shem Avodah Zarah with the Puritans? Was it a Chok L'Avodah Zarah? That's what we're going to get to now. Was it a Chok L'Avodah Zarah? Nowadays, it's probably not a Chok L'Avodah Zarah, but is it Hevel V'Shtus? Not Hevel V'Shtus. They're trying to pay Akar Satov to America. It's not Hevel V'Shtus. There's a reasoning behind it. So let's say it was Mekusher. It wasn't. What were the Puritans? Let's say they were involved in Protestants or Catholics. So this is what the Sefer Tashbetz. We'll get to the Kashas. I want you to just get this down. The Tashbetz and Simen Sadi Gimel and Simen Kuflam Gimel. One of the Rishonim. Tashbetz again. Simen Sadi Gimel, Simen Kuflam and Gimel. He says that Islam is not under the Isra of Chukasem Los Aleichu. The Gemara says, how are you supposed to do your talus? Kederach Yishmaelim. They carried the Korban Pesach in a way that the merchants, Arab merchants did. So you see that Islam is not a problem of Chukasem Los Aleichu. Islam, they believe in Hashem. They had a false prophet, Muhammad. But Lamaisa, they believe in Hashem. So therefore, there's no problem. Matthew, you got this? Chukasem Los Aleichu Legabi Islam. Now what about Catholicism and Christianity? So let's get this. This is a very important machlokes Rabbi Tam and the Rambam. The Rambam claimed that Catholicism is Avodah Zarah, the Trinity. The Trinity is Avodah Zarah, according to the Rambam. The Rabbi Tam has quoted Tyson Bechiris, Bezim, and Beis, that it's only a partnership. They really believe Hashem's in charge, and they have these side guys. But Hashem's in charge. So according to the machlokes Rambam, Rabbi Tam, a goy that engages in a Catholicism, is he doing Avodah Zarah? According to the Rambam, yes. According to Rabbi Tam, no. But the Minchas Chinuch points out, the Noda B'Yudah, the Chassam Sofer, they all point out for a Jew to engage in Avodah Zarah, to a Jew to engage in Catholicism or Christianity, it's definitely usher. Definitely usher. You follow me? Tol Machlokes is for what? It's for non-Jews. So it would come out, Halacha L'Maisim, the Ramah passes like the Ma'arik and the Ram, that the mill is mutter, because you're doing it L'Shem, the Kavod, there's a rhyme and reason. Whereas according to the Vilna Gaon, it would be usher. So if we plug it in, the observance of Thanksgiving, Halacha L'Maisa, according to the Ma'arik, would be mutter, because we're not doing, there's a rhyme and reason behind it, we're trying to pay Akar Satov to Hashem, we live in a Medina Shel Chesed, Moshe said, that we're able to serve Hashem and learn and do mitzvahs. But if you hold like the Gaon, there's no recording, there's no mucker for it. So we're talking what? We're talking about Yasser. Just like he asked the white jackets, just like he asked the flowers on what? The flowers in the shuls. Halacha L'Maisa. Yes, Matthew, go ahead. And then we had Chaim, and then Ariel. Yeah, go ahead.
Is there any, relevance that Thanksgiving one isn't a Christian holiday, it's a uniquely American holiday.
That's if you take that approach, you are right. But if you do other research, it could be that it was religious with the Puritans when they first came over. Might have been connected with religion. So what I'm saying to you, Halach L'Maisa, is that that depends whether you're going to view it as a Avodah Zarah. You follow me? Is it Avodah Zarah or not? We can't engage in it. It's an Isser, but the question is maybe, just like Islam is not a problem, maybe even if it was, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, you follow me? Yes, yes. Chaim, yeah, go ahead.
Either or not, even if it's for Avodah Zarah, we're doing it for other reasons, is it mutter?
No. That's correct. Well said. And that's why I say you gotta, that's why I bring up this theory about the Christianity. Because if it was Mekusha with the Puritans, maybe you could say it wasn't Avodah Zarah. You follow me? Catholicism, Christianity wasn't Avodah Zarah. It wasn't paganism. But the Shilas is that. So the Rabbeinu Tam has that Shita. But I want you, don't make that mistake. It's Machlokes Rambam Rabbeinu Tam for a goy to engage in it. If a Jew to engage, it's definitely usher. It's going to be Avodah Zarah. Question is, B'chukhsim Lo Seleichem, maybe it's not a problem. For B'chukhsim Lo Seleichem. Yes, go ahead, Yonatan.
What does the girl do with that Gemara, the rabbi that got married?
That's a good kasha. What does he do with that Gemara? Because he had a reason in mind. It's a very good. It could very well be. It's a great kasha. I think the answer might be is because it was for Pikuach Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. So Pikuach Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, he didn't consider it the Vilna Gaon. Maybe it was considered to be Hevel V'Shtus. You know what I mean? It's like the second Chok like Taisvus. The Vilna Gaon seems to be going like Taisvus. So it's like second Chok Hevel V'Shtus. If it's for the sake of Klal Yisrael, then it's Dochen. You follow me? Okay. Very good. Now this brings us to the following. I want you to get to some examples. Ariel, you had a kasha? Okay, I want to get to some examples practically now of B'chukhsim Lo Seleichem. Let's go. In the Shmos Rabbah, it says Beferish and Simon Lamed Vav Os Aleph that Klai Yisrael is similar to an olive. There's no other liquids mixed well with olives. In fact, olives cannot be grafted. You know, you say V'yitain Lecha every Saturday night? David HaMelech made a bracha that Klai Yisrael should be like saplings of olives that they shouldn't assimilate. You should try, the Ramah says. In our shul, we don't say it as a tzibur, but I say it privately, bli neder. Okay? You should try. It's a beautiful tefillah. V'yitain lecha. David HaMelech gave a bracha. Klai Yisrael should be like saplings of olives. Yushalmi says in Kolam, you cannot graft an olive sapling. It doesn't take. So Klai Yisrael's got to be different. Okay? They cannot be mixed. Now listen to this. It comes out in amazing chiddush. Comes out that, and this is some practical examples I want you to give. I showed Matthew, I do want to tell you that I dug up a sack of Rav Moshe that's not in the Igros Moshe about Thanksgiving. And he writes in the end of the piece about Thanksgiving, he thinks that the bottom line is that I'm going to read you his lashon. Bedavri shtafus b'mi shemachshivino yom Thanksgiving ki'inin chag. If you make it like a chag, lasos posuda, hene lechura mikavin shibisfri datam, in their religious books, lo huskru yom zeh. We don't find it in the, it's not like Xmas or Easter, lechag, v'gam lo shiyishchai v'besuda. We don't find that it's recorded in the religious books as a chiyuv suda. V'kavin shu yom zeich l'anshi ha-medina shu gam ken shama ha-medina, Shabal Agur Khan, Ata, O Mikfar Lomatsinu Bisa Isolav, Bisias Simcha Besuda. He says he doesn't think it's a problem in Isolav, but doing this Simcha Besuda, Lobachilis Indik, we're going to get back to that, about eating turkey. Ukramatsinu, Kiagav, Kijudav Samachov, Shiyane Amelch, also Simcha Bekvisha of the Machoma, the Kuchulis, Shibi Midbar. Yane Amelch, when he won a victory, made a big Suda, Achlusham Yerakos, Lazacher, and they ate vegetables. So Rav Moshe starts off saying it's not a problem. To make it like a religious day in your family, it's not right. Okay, your parents want you to come. When you get married and have kids, you'll do what you want. But for shalom bias issues, to go with the family and play a little football before, to make old machloikis, that's not right. He says, make it like a reshus. Bofen zeh below kfiyas chovu mitzvah. It's not like a mitzvah. Yucho gam l'shonos acheres gamkin l'smuch l'asos bo'osuda. It's not like it's aval ani sovir. Mekom asul l'asos yom kavua b'shana. Shouldn't make a set day l'chog zeh. Rak b'shana hi shekavash yana melech. They only made it that year, yana melech. B'zeh asa simcha v'lo l'kfiyas. It wasn't every year. B'yish b'yish b'shun b'al taisif. So Rav Moshe basically says, it's not a problem of b'al taisif. I'm a Gil Dazem Ramban Pirsh al Dvaram al Puzzle al Tosifu Ashla Ishladin Alamikum Isravada Huze. He says he doesn't think it's a Labakuksim lo Selechu, but he says it is usher to celebrate it. If you can get out of it every year, maybe every other year, if you try to do it, it won't be Bikvias. But even if you're doing it every year, don't make it like a big thing, Rav Moshe says. Because the bottom line is that it's not such a great thing because Lomaisa, non Jews do it, and maybe it would fall in that category. But I'm saying the Rav used to say he closes Gemara on Thanksgiving, let's go home and have turkey. That's what they used to say, that the Rav said. So he held it was okay, because he's following the Ramah with the Marik. The Ramah seems to be saying that too, but he still says he's not comfortable with doing it every year, halacha l'maisa. But let's get to some specifics though. So you don't have tainus on other people. If they do it, fine. If they don't do it, but don't, we always say don't have tainus on other people. You know what I mean? You have to learn to do the sugya properly. And it's not something based on the Ramah Marik, it's not something because the Rav thought it was mutter. Rav Moshe was not comfortable with, even though he himself says not Isru Chakam Losalechu. He says about working in the office, the Taz says, if you don't wear a kippah, you're over Chakam Losalechu. He says nowadays, the Moshe says, you should always wear a kippah, but he doesn't think it's an Isru Chakam Losalechu. He doesn't think that that's an Isru, because sometimes people wear hats. Allah Lamaisa. One sec, Matthew. This is going to boil down to the following. If you have a guy that says wants to get a specific haircut to look like Michael Jordan, a guy wants to get a specific, that's usher. You're doing it, Lomais, to be like a non-Jew, it's not right, Ariel, okay? If you wear a certain jersey, I want to be like a non-Jew, Lomais. But that's not right. It's really not right. If it happens to be that we wear suits and ties to be professional, okay, the non-Jews also do that, but I'm not doing it to be like a non-Jew. We wear a suit jacket to be a professional because that's like the doctor's coat. But if you're doing it specifically to get a haircut like that, or you want to get a pair, you know, you want to, I don't know, you want to look like a certain, that's not right. And this brings us to this machleik, it's unbelievable, and that, by Maharam Shik and the Marshan. That's why I asked Chaim in the beginning, she always asked the guys, what do you want to be called? I always prefer the Hebrew name. If one of the Talmidim prefers the secular name, then I call him by that secular name. But if everything's all equal, and he says, Rabbi, it's up to you, I always try to go with the Hebrew name. What does the Maharam Shik write in your day as Simon Kuf Samach Tes? Do you know why his name is Maharam Shik? Shik is Shem Yisrael Kodesh. Shik is abbreviation. Shem, Yud, Shem Yisrael Kodesh. He wanted a Jewish name. And therefore he says he was with a governor once. And the governor once asked him, he says, why do you guys, the Jewish people, always name your children with secular names? He said he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed. He said that it's an isser of Chusim L'Salechu to name your children with a secular name. Who argues on this? The Marashtam, in Chelik Yordea Kufsari Tes, he brings a riot from the Gemara Gittin of Seamus Mufakin. What is Seamus Mufakin? They had names of Jewish guys that signed on Gittin, had Greek names. The Mar, it's a Machlokes, the Maram Shik, against the Marashtam. Marashtam says no problem to name secular names. Okay?
What about that Gemara, where, like, that one year they named all the firstborn, like, when they have Pontius Alexander?
Yeah.
Why is that?
That's another raya of the Marshtam. Very good, Yonatan. What is he going to get out of it? I think he would say that was the Al-Zakar Zatov. But if there's no reason behind it, that was Al-Zakar Zatov Alexandria. But if there's no reason behind it, it's Usser. He's going with that approach. If there's rhyme and reason behind it, again, we're going to say it's Mutter. If there's no rhyme and reason, then maybe it's a problem. I'll give you another expression, another subtopic. What about words? Certain words. You want to be like a Nanji. You say, I don't know what the word might be. Cool. I don't know. Cool is not a good example. But you say some word, you know, want Daf to be like that, some trendy word that's going on. The Smog says in Lavin Simon Nun, he says what? He says if you speak in a way that you want to be viewed like a non-Jew, it's Usser B'chukosim Osalechu. The Medrash Rabbah and Lamed Beis of Yikar Rabbah says one of the great things that Jews did not do in Mitzrayim is Shalosh Shinu Es what? Es Lashonim. They didn't change their name and their language. And the Yushalmi says in the first Perek of Shabbos, one of the 18 Zeres of Talmid Beis Shammai Basil was not to speak like the Goyim. On a Diraisa level, you see, it was Mutter. It was a Xera, though. You follow me? It was a Xera. It's one of the 18 things they made a Xera, not to speak like the non-Jews. So Nivul Peh, we all know that it's Usser. We mentioned that at the beginning of the year. There are two types of Nivul Peh. There's Nivul Peh about Nyoni Tznius. That's if you have 70 years in Shammayim that are Tov, they're ripped up immediately. And then there's a Stam Nivul Peh, which has nothing to do with Nyoni Tznius, which is also Usser. But then there's words you say you want to be like a non-Jew. You dafka want to be like a non-Jew. That's Taka Usser. That's why the Chassam Sofer says Yiddish came about. Well, how do you think Yiddish came about? Yiddish is a German dialect, yes? But Yidim speak it because they didn't want to speak German. And therefore it's a combination of the Hebrew and the German together so we would get out of that problem. And that's what the Sifron Achrimos, Parshosa Test, Halacha Test, Rabbeinu Hillel writes, and also Rav Teichman says, B'shem Rav Epstein and Rav David Cohen, Shlita, they say certain special words that the non-Jews say, that taka might be usher. So that was a big thing, I think it was in the late 50s, early 60s, when the Rav switched shear from Yiddish to English. The guys weren't understanding Yiddish. So he was not comfortable with it, but he made the switch. So what's the lumdus? And when he made the switch, he spoke a Prince English. He would translate everything in Shir. He would translate Nila circumcision. He would translate Kohen priest, everything. He would translate. Why is that okay? Because if the reason why I'm speaking English is because it's the best way to communicate the Torah, I'm not doing to be like a non-Jewish professor. You're trying to communicate the Torah in the best way possible, then there's no issue. But maybe when everything was all equal, maybe the Rav liked to do Yiddish better. Because why? Because why? What's the rhyme and reason? You guys understand Yiddish just well. Why do it in English? You follow me? But if you come up with a rhyme and reason behind it, you're following the Marik and the Ramah that allow the white coats, that allow you to put the flowers up, and they allow you to what? They allow you to put the flowers up in the Shulchan Shavuos because there's a rhyme and reason behind it. And the Thanksgivings are Karz HaTov to Hashem. You're with your families. You get together. If there's a rhyme and reason behind it, I'm not doing it to be like a non-Jew. Remember that definition of the Ma'arik. You don't have to be different. The answer is you just have to make sure you're not doing the same as the Goyim. Okay? You have to make sure you're not doing the same as the Goyim. That's the definition according to the Ma'arik. So we have these applications of names, of words, and we have to make sure about haircuts and clothes to make sure we're doing it properly. Now this leads us to the following, and then we have to get to Chumash and Daven Mincha, the Parsha. I wanted to just take a few minutes about this notion of eating what? Of eating turkey. Okay? As we said, we always have to investigate in the halacha. It's interesting. I don't know, but years ago, Medina Yisrael was the greatest country importing turkey of all countries in the world. Medina Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. So, the question is turkey kosher or not? So, we know that the Torah Kedoshah, we know that the Torah Kedoshah gives us what? Gives us certain rules. For what? For fish, it's fins and scales. Yes? If you don't have fins and scales, it's not a kosher fish. It's core like that. It's pasuk and chumash. What about when it comes to animals? Mammals. You need split hooves and you need chewing its cud. Correct. What happens when it comes to birds? Torah gives you a list but doesn't give you rules. That's the thing. It gives you 24 non-kosher birds. But it doesn't give you rules and regulations. That's in the Torah Shebichsav. But in the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Mishnayos do discuss it. Okay? And the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin. Mishnah discusses this in Maseches Chulin. And the Mishnah writes as follows. Okay? The Mishnah says that there are four simanim for birds to determine their kosher. Let's get them. Number one is that it cannot be a predator. If it's a doe race, it cannot be kosher. So birds that I know, in fact, during Chol HaMoed Sukkos, we went to this place near Passaic, beautiful, view where you see birds. And the guy was explaining to us the birds that travel, and it was a bird spot, you know. The New Jersey, I forgot the fancy word for birds. But it was an amazing thing. So an example of a predator that you have are like, let's say, hawks, vultures, eagles, falcons. Those types of birds are predators. Any bird that is a predator cannot be kosher. Okay? So that's the first simon. So we know that a turkey is not a predator. Since a turkey is not a predator, therefore it fulfills that first simon. What's the second simon? The second simon is it has to have an extra toe. A turkey has an extra toe. Kosher bird must have an extra toe. Let's get this down. It's on Daf Samach Dalet. Matthew, let's get it down so we remember it. You write it down, you remember.
What does it mean, an extra toe? Like, how many other toes?
I, you know what, Yonatan, I'm not even going to say. I thought birds have three toes, generally. I don't know. I don't remember. But when a regular bird has a certain amount of toes, a turkey, a kosher bird must have an extra toe. Okay?
On one foot or on both feet?
On both, I believe. Okay, that's the second simon. Number three, it must have a zephik. What's a zephik? A crop. It has to have a crop. Okay, and what's number four? It must have a korkaban. What's a korkaban? That is peelable. A korkaban is a gizzard. A peelable gizzard. So it's got to have four simonim to be a kosher bird. That's the mission. Number one, it cannot be a doe race, a predator. Number two, it must have an extra toe. Number three, it must have what? A crop. And number four, it must have a peelable gizzard. A turkey has all four. It's not a predator. It has an extra toe. It has a crop. And it has a peelable gizzard. The problem is as follows. Rashi in Maseches Chulin points out a fifth requirement, which the Roma quotes in Hilchos Of in Yordea, that the bird must have a mesorah. You must have a tradition that this bird is kosher. Rashi writes this in Chulin Sadeh Samach Dalmes, and the Roma records it in Hilchos Of. It's amazing. It must have a mesorah that it is kosher. And the question is, this turkey, the Hindik, it's called a Hindik, similar to the Hindik, when it was a new world bird brought over, you know, it was in India, It was brought over by the travelers that came to America. Is there a way to say that we establish a Messiah from the times of the 1400s when Columbus came over? Is that enough to say that I've established a Messiah by coming over? So that's a very, very fascinating discussion. Most poskim write, yes, that that is enough to establish. It seems like the Chafetz Chaim, Mishnah Berurah, seem to say that a turkey was kosher. And Rav Moshe says, Beferish here, that it is kosher. But there were Gedolim, Rav David Lifshitz Zatzal, picture of him here, the great holy, was Machmir, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, Rav Shechter Shlita, should live and be well, also has a chumra not to eat turkey. But it is, they're all chumras. What do I mean they're all chumras? It's not like they viewed it as ham, because it fulfills all the four simonim. The question is, does it fulfill that fifth one that Rashi was machadish? So, because if they held it was like ham, they can never eat it on someone's house or all these caterers. Everyone has turkey on the stuff. It would impossible other dishes, right? So it's a chumra. You follow me? It's a chumra. Most posts can hold it that it's mutter, but there are gedolim that are machmir because they didn't feel that it had a tradition, because it was a new world bird. But many posts can say that, well, since it's been for many years and it had it over there, so it's possible in the Mishnah Berurah, it might seem to say that it was beferish okay. Yes, Matthew, go ahead.
A few questions.
Yes.
One, when the gedolim Yisraelis are machmir, they mean that eating turkey is bidyabed, and you shouldn't, or that even the chachila turkey is okay.
They themselves took this personal chumrah upon themselves.
I don't think so.
I don't think they're saying it. It's like we learned from Avram Avinu. They imposed the chumrah on themselves, not on the chaver, not on the family. Yeah.
And then back to the Moshe.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
What's considered, I think the Lashon uses Kohen, Kohen Simcha.
Yes.
So what's, is that like, you know, if you have, let's say, Minhag every year, Thursday, you play football with your friends on that day?
Yeah, but I think if you don't, like, you know, make it like a Simcha, and you know what I mean? It's like a Rishus, you know what I mean? Try to make it like a rishus, you know?
Like more of like, it you just get, happens when you're having a nice dinner.
Yeah, exactly. You get together. Yeah, exactly. Always you should have a suda with Divrei Torah. Yeah. We don't want to be a shulchan of Zivchan Mesim. You can mention Akar Satov. We discussed Akar Satov at great length at the beginning of the year. Yeah. You're like an Apikaris. Yeah. So you have to praise Hashem for that. So you're exactly what you're saying, okay? But generally we assume, halacha l'maaseh, like most posts, we're going to say that it's considered to be what the turkey is going to be, what can soon be kosher. Yes, go ahead.
And then the last question, Rav Moshe said that he still don't want to say you shouldn't do it every year.
Yes. So
would there be a way to get around that if, like, let's say you didn't do it, like, let's say you celebrated Thanksgiving on Wednesday every year to show that you're not doing Thanksgiving? Like,
yeah, maybe. Or maybe do it every other year. Yeah, maybe. But I'm saying, even if you're doing it every year, the Rav said it was okay. Even Kurt and Moshe, don't make it like a big deal. That's why I'm saying, like, if you, Nicole's mom, you're not married, you don't have kids, you're like, you're not making a big deal because you're doing it out showing bias.
So it wouldn't be one of those things where, like, if you leaned on the Torah to say that it could be mamish avodah zara, you shouldn't be like,
well, we didn't say
can't do it.
We didn't say it was avodah zara, but remember we said according to the Gaon, what do we say?
There's no mesorah.
If there's no, if it's not written in the marker anywhere, then it's going to be awesome. Maybe you have all the shtus, but it might not be avodah zara, but it's still going to be awesome. I don't think you would say it's avodah zara.
But even if you, one would hold like the Gaon for showing bias, you shouldn't.
Yeah, I think you should do the Shalom. We're going like the Ramah B'Shem, the Ma'arik. That's correct. And therefore, it's going to be considered to be permissible. Okay, let's get to Chumash. Let's get to the Parsha, and then we'll daven Mincha. Okay? We have, this week's Parsha is Parshas Vayetze. So I want to begin like this. You know, a lot of times, everyone thinks that Yosef was the first one labeled as a tzaddik. It's really not true. Before Yosef, it was Yaakov Avinu. And I want to start off with that. There are four makaros that we say Yaakov is called a tzaddik. Number one, Rashi in the beginning of the parsha of Yetzi Yaakov Beersheva, when a tzaddik leaves a city, he leaves an imprint on the city. The Medrash is calling him a tzaddik. Right? That's number one. Number two, Yaakov goes back for the Pachim Ketanim. What does the Gemara say in Chulin? Andav Sadi Dalad, Amud Beis. That at tzaddik, his mammon is more special than his goof. Why? Because he wants to give stalker to help. He wants to help people out. He endangered himself. Doesn't make a difference. To a tzaddik, a mammon is more chashuv than his goof. He went back for the pachim ketanim. It says at tzaddik, again, calling him at tzaddik. Number three, mocker. all the rocks, the stones were fighting. Which stone is going to be the pillow for his head? Alai yaniach es hatzadik hazeh. Those are three makoros, and I'll give you a fourth. The Rambam. The third was the Gemara in Chulin. First one is the Rashi in the beginning of the parsha, quotes a Medrash. And when a tzaddik leaves a city, he leaves an imprint on the city. And the fourth one is the last Rambam in Hilchos Schiras Paulim. What does it say? How should an employee act? No one had a worse boss in the world than Yaakov with Lavan. He was the worst boss in the world, a wicked man. And he never wasted a moment. And you know what the Rambam writes? Every employee should follow after Yaakov's model. And he calls him Yaakov HaTzadik. You look up that Rambam, the last Rambam in Hilchos Schiras Paulim. So those are four marmakaimis, so we see that Yaakov is called a tzaddik. So I want to just share with you, if he was such a great tzaddik, which we just proved, why is it that he was mesaken ma'ariv, which is a reshus? We paskin at ma'ariv is obligatory, became obligatory. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Bahag, but in its original makor, machleg jebishu and rogamliel, it was a reshus. So you know, some poskim say, because why? That if you hold kineged what? If you hold Lamaisa that he was about to daven mincha and it was dangerous, Hashem had the sun set the sun, so he was trying to daven mincha and it turned out to be a ma'ariv. So that's why ma'ariv is a reshus. That's one answer. Another answer was he was in a dangerous place, so he really was part from davening. But I want to give our own answer. Because he was such a tzaddik, he doesn't what rest upon doing things that are just obligatory. He does things above the letter of the law. Exactly. And he took on Meir. That's what makes him Yaakov HaTzadik. And you know it's hard to rate the Avos. But what does the Medrash Rabbah say at the beginning of Shmos Rabbah? Who was the best of all the Avos? Yaakov Avinu. He was the Bechir Sheba Avos. Because he was able to go above the letter of the law. This was his sitkis. Wasn't enough for him to just do what exactly is said. And therefore the Kasha must be asked, guys, how could he marry two sisters? So the Ramban says it was in Chutz Lartz. And I want to share with you the Chassam Sofer's beautiful drasha. Oh, yeah. What does it say in the Parsha, in our Parsha? He marries two sisters. And then he says, we got to get out of here. We got to go back there. It's a Sisro. And he tells his two wives. You know what he's telling his two wives? When he goes back there, it's a Sisro, the issur of marrying two sisters will resurface. He's going to have to divorce one of them. You know what they respond back? Halo Nachri Aslanu. What does Halon Achriyas Lano mean? Says the Chassam Sofer, according to the Reim, we converted. We're not sisters. Therefore, we're not halachic sisters, so we can go back with you. It's not a problem at all.
Is that true?
Yes, that's what the Reim says.
If they
convert, Midrabanan, we cannot. Brother cannot marry his sister, Midrabanan. Minatorah, they could. If a brother and sister are going, they both convert, Minatorah, they can marry one another. Midrabanan, we say it's usher because we don't want people saying that Judaism is more kal than goyim. A brother can't bowl a sister, so now when you become Jewish, it's okay. That's a drabanan. But minatari, they're gershin iskarik akanshanola domi. Amazing. So I want you to get this conversation back and forth. Yaakov says, what should we do? They say, don't worry about it. We're not halachic sisters, so we can go back with you. Oh, exactly. So this is the godless. So I want to just get the following, and then we'll close with Dav Mincha. Two important messages I want to bring out. You know, guys, you have to be very sensitive to other people. You know, Rachel was such a tzedekis. The Gemara says in Megillah, on David Gimel Bey, she gave the simanim to who? Leah. And therefore Leah, she knew the code word, and therefore Yaakov was with her. Yes? You know, that was not easy, to give over the simanim. Because of her sensitivity, she had such sensitivity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he listens, who does he listen to? When we come back. Rachel Mavak al Baneha, excellent Matthew. He doesn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't listen to the Avos, he listens to someone who has a sensitivity. And that's what Rachel's Mavak al Baneha, Ariel. That's what Rachel's Mavak al Baneha, you follow me? If you have a sensitivity towards your Chaverim, you care about someone. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to Rachel. The Mavak al Baneha. And I want you to get this. You know, the Rambam writes that any mitzvah you do, Beinan l'chaveiro, any mitzvahs you do, benam l'chaveiro, when do you get schar? Olam hazeh. We always think schar b'hai amaleka, that's only by schar in this world we don't get. That's only from mitzvah benam l'makom. Benam l'chaveiro you get in this world. There's a special uniqueness, guys, of being sensitive. And if you're sensitive towards other people, you care about the other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to such a person. You follow me, Ariel? This is the sensitivity you have to try to gather. You know, the Yushalmi says in Tanai, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was traveling, and the river was there. The river split for him. Mamish, Yushalmi and Demai. The river split for him. He went right through. The Talmid Rabbi, they said, Rabbi, will it split for us? He says, I don't know. Did you guys ever hurt anybody? He said, I know I never hurt anybody. So you see that Yushalmi is so powerful. The water will only split for guys that what? That never hurt anybody. A lot of times you think, oh, this guy, I hurt this guy? I mean, come on. Everyone's sense of their own perspectives. And you have to realize that even though it's like, you think it's nuts, 95% of the people wouldn't be upset by that. You have to be open to that. If he was sensitive to it, you have to apologize. It's so, so powerful, this notion, halacha l'maisa, of being sensitive. And this is what I want to get you, I want to close with. Do you know Rav Shach has in his Sefer Zatzal? He writes an amazing thing. Do you know when Esav realizes that he lost the brachas, what does he do? He screams. He screams. Do you know what the Medrash says? Yaakov showed no empathy. And because he showed no empathy, we have the story of Yitzhak Zaka Gedolah by Esther. We were almost annihilated. Rav Shach develops, he says, there should have been sensitivity of Yaakov. Even though Esav, we view him as a Rasha, but he should have showed some empathy. There was no empathy. And that's not a Yiddish thing. We always show Rachmanis. Rabbi Shonim, Kom Lechasadim, Rachmanim. We're anav, we do kindnesses, and we also are merciful. And Yaakov displayed a lack of sensitivity, and because of that, we were almost annihilated. That's a big Musar Haskel, guys, upon us. To work on our Beiram L'Chaveiro, to try the best we can to be sensitive, to, you know, to be empathic, to care about the Chaveirim, to care about what's going on with someone. You know, you don't just let go in one ear and out the other. And to be people that can understand that even though Yaakov had tzaddik, but he himself wasn't empathic. We have to realize that. We have to realize that Yaakov, in his complete high level of tzidkis, it's a Musar Haskel to us. And that is why you have this notion of the bracha of Pam Oda. When did Leah thank Hashem for Yehudit? Because on Reuven revision, Shimon hearing, Levi touching, there's no bracha. But there's a bracha on fragrance. Because the fragrance speaks to the neshama. And it speaks to the neshama. Everyone has a neshama. We have to do the best I can that we learn from Rachel, from Misakin what Yaakov did. And we live as Yidden B'nai Torah, that we can combine the midas with the learning, and we can be as sensitive as possible to never hurt anyone. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Let's have mincha. And have a good time. If you're playing ball tomorrow, please be careful. Don't get hurt.